some of the guys, you know, who know me well, they go, "What did you miss about the stick? What you seriously, what do you miss about the stick?" And I said, "You know, it's a little sadistic to say this." I said, "But I miss the fact that you had 100 freaking hot dog wrappers blowing around, and you're up there and you're like, all right, one of them has to be the baseball. Which one do I hit now?"
No.
All right, Kaywin, we want to do the West Coast swing and then get Will out of here.
Yeah, so Will, we've got some quick hitters. There's no right or wrong answer. It's called the West Coast swing. Give our listeners an opportunity to learn a little bit more about you.
I like it. Fire away. It's like Bernsey does this crap too. But his are a lot more way out there than probably yours are going to be.
That is true.
Do you want us to channel our inner Bernsey?
There you go. Get your feng shui working.
All right, first one, favorite stadium to hit in.
Oh, wow. At home, I mean, just because it was my home stadium, I love Candlestick. The reason being because of the background. The background was huge. It was solid green, and they painted it black one year. And, I mean, you'd pick up the ball immediately. It was easy ball. On the road, without a doubt, that same stadium we were just talking about, San Diego. Tony Gwynn had the grass cut about this big, and all you had to do was touch it, and that ball just shot through the infield. So you go to San Diego, you knew you were going to get 6 or 8 hits in a series every time. Plus, they had a bad pitching staff. Sorry.
Favorite city on the road?
Cincinnati, Ohio. Absolutely loved it. You know what? I mean, I had never been to the Midwest. That Skyline Chili was awesome. You could go get a great steak, no matter where you went. And then had some pretty good girls to look at in the stands. They were pretty nice.
There's another No Filter Network host who also says Cincinnati was a great road destination.
Who would that be?
All right, best piece of advice you ever received from a teammate or a veteran teammate?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I came up with these, Will. Kyle,
no, I like that. I like that, man. probably the best. I was kind of that guy anyway. But it was, you know, come to the ballpark ready to play every day, no matter whether you hurt. No matter whether you're feeling 1,000%, whatever, come to the ballpark and get ready to play every day. And you know, that came from Mike Kruko. He was my mentor. You know, he taught me more about the game than I could ever appreciate him for. And that was probably the biggest one, because for a roll, I mean, I got on a roll there, 87, 88, 89. I mean, I played 400 to 500 straight games. I didn't come out the lineup, and it really pisses me off nowadays to go into the clubhouse and see guys ask for a day off and stuff like that. That's not me. I came to the ballpark because I wanted to play. I love the game. I wanted to challenge every day.
What's the term you use? You're a hog you're a hog in the pig pen or something like that. Every time you step foot in the park,
I'm a slop, man. I'm in my element. There you go. I'm in my element. I came to the ballpark because I wanted to play. I wanted to do some damage. Hey, you know, you guys get a few runners in scoring position, give me the bat. Please give me the bat.
So same question Ben asked, but role reversal. Best piece of advice when you were a veteran, you gave a younger player.
We had a guy that was really, really scuffling hitting-wise, and felt he was trying to search for something. And I went up and I said, what pitches are you seeing right now? And he goes, fastballs and curveballs. I said, all right, let's eliminate one. I said, which one do you want to look for, fastball or curveball? He goes, curveball. I said, no, wrong one. Fastball.
Said,
I said, everybody's got a number one, and everybody's going to throw a number one. I said, let's look fastball. And I said, we're just going to look fastball all day and just simplify it and whack the hell out of it. And the guy wound up actually having a pretty good day and got on a little bit of a roll. And it was just, you know, the fact that gave him a game plan, just simplified his whole game, and he was able to get on a little roll. So, but, you know, he went with the, oh, yeah, I'm going to look breaking ball. Yeah, when you're scuffling, that's the one thing you want to do, look breaking ball. No, dumbass, you want to look for number one. Who knows?
All right, Will, we're going to give you a chance to maybe throw the commish under the bus a little bit. I heard you don't like doing that. So go gentle. NL designated hitter only, no DH or universal DH?
No DH. So, and this has a definite story to it, okay? When you are an NL player, your bench players get ready to play every day. You're going to have pitching changes. You're going to have double swaps. You're going to have guys moving around the infield. You're going to have utility guys. So you use your bench players a lot more in the NL. If you go to the AL and you have guys like myself all of a sudden that get hot, I'm not coming out the lineup. And so, you know, it was kind of tough to see some of your teammates in the AL. I mean, they wouldn't even sniff the field for 2, maybe 3 weeks. And, you know, you got some guys in the NL who are bench guys, and they'll have 200, 250 at-bats. In the AL, they might have 75. So, you know, as far as the whole team dynamic and getting guys to play and being able to use your bullpen better and make double swaps and, you know, readjust the lineups, I'm an NL guy. I will always be an NL guy. And if our stupid-ass commissioner makes it a designated hitter rule, I might jump through this camera and punch him in his nose.
I'll hold his arms.
Oh, please. Oh. So right
we'll,
now.
We'll get that guy from Fresno who hit you right here on the side too.
Hey, you can't dish it out in St. Louis unless you receive it in Fresno. But yeah, I mean, you know, I just got back from spring training, like we talked about before, and you know, they got like 5 new rule changes for the minor leaguers, and it's just stuff that's just asinine and just gonna just destroy the game.
All right, last question, because since we're on a heater a bit here on the rules. So I watched the Dodgers play the Padres last night. Tatis ended up scoring that winning run. Your take on a runner on second?
In extra innings. Well, you know, you guys know me. I'm a baseball traditionalist. I don't care if it goes freaking 20 innings. You know, that's
unless you're in Cincinnati, won. Right?
Yeah. Hey, I was in 2 or 3 18 inning jobbies, and actually one of them was my rookie year. Greg Minton, our reliever, got the base hit that ended the game. I was 0-7 that game. You know, and I was the happiest guy on the face of the planet. But you know, put yourself in a reliever's shoes. So here I am. I go out there. There's a guy on second base that I did not allow out there, but I got to protect it, you know, or my teammates didn't allow him out there. And I have to protect this guy from scoring. But if the guy does score, I get the loss. I think that's bullshit. You know, I mean, if you're a reliever and you go in and everybody says, yeah, you know, hey, nice job this year. You know, you had a 3 ERA, but you're 1-8. Well, yeah, because I got put in the extra innings and the runner on second. And they don't care. They care about your 1-8. You know, they don't care about what the circumstances are. So it's another one of them bad rules. And here's the thing. I'm on this rant, so let me keep it going against the commissioner. All right. You know, they constantly want to speed up the game. But yet these new rules that they're putting in, especially in the minor leagues, are going to slow down the game. And on top of that, no matter what happens, a baseball game will be 3 hours long. So you speed up the game, guess what they're doing? They're trying to get more commercials to make more money. That's what this is all about.
Will, I think that's, oh, we wait, have one wait, last wait. Question.
Yeah, I was going to throw some more fuel in that fire, but no.
We'll... Go right ahead. you got a couple more, you got more time, Will?
Yeah, I ain't going nowhere. All right, here's another one for you. You know, while we're talking, you know, telling stories and all that, we talked about, you know, Greg Maddux and reading the lips. We talked about Don Zimmer, right? Well, Don Zimmer was Roger Craig's, like, best buddy. They came through the Dodgers organization together, and he was our third base coach in 1987. And everybody knows kind of Don Zimmer was a big gambler. He bet on two ants walking across the street. And so we did not even have a stop sign at third base. He just waved everybody around. You know? And we only had four guys thrown out the whole year, which was incredible, as many people as he wailed around third base. So, you know, when you're coming around third base and the coach is waving you around, he usually says something to you like, you know, you got to hurry or it's going to be close, you know, something like that. So I'm on second base and whoever was up behind me got a base hit to right field. So the ball's behind me. So I'm coming around. I'm just keeping my eye on Zimmer, but I know I'm going. All right. It's two outs. I know I'm going because he hadn't held anybody up the whole year. So here he is. He's waving me around. He goes, you got to go, but you're going to be out. you come around third, you go, time out. What? I'm gonna be out. Why are you sending me? And as usual, you know, the throw is offline. I slide in safe. You know, I get up. I go up to him after the game. I go, Zim, tell me anything other than I'm gonna be out. I said, I'm just having a collision at home plate.
All right. So Will, you're commish for 24 hours. You can put out, you make the rule changes for, let's call it next year. What have you seen down in spring training that they're trying to implement or experiment with? What's the good? What's the bad? What's the ugly?
Okay. So number one, first and foremost, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lower the strike zone because, you know, back in the day, let's look at some of these names, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, Big Daddy Rick Russell, Tom Browning, you know, guys like that, guys that work quick and threw strikes, amazing. You know, they want to speed the game up, amazing. They're 2 hours and they're in the seventh inning because they threw strikes and they had guys put the ball in play, all right? Right now, the way that they have the strike zone, all right, it's a high strike zone. They're getting a ton of foul balls, all right? That's first off. So what you're doing is you're upping the pitcher's pitch count, so they got to make more pitching moves, all right? Then on top of that, it does away with the idea of having the ball being fielded by the other team. If you look at it right now, it's 27 outs in a game. When you strike out 14 or 15 times, the other team only has to deal with the ball seven or eight times, and then guess what? There's no pressure on them. If you put 22, 25 balls in play, you're going to have errors. You're going to have all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, just the way the game's going right now, that'd be the number one thing I'd do. I'd load a strike zone, tell the guys to be more aggressive. The hitters would put the ball in play more, you know, and you would get your fielders involved more, and those guys would be on their toes.
That's it. Right, you have 24 hours. That was like 10 minutes, Will.
You've got our vote.
That's only rule number one. All right? That's only rule number one. You know, the other thing that they're doing, you know, is like these guys, and I go through this with Brandon Bell. He's like, dude, he's like, man, everybody plays on that side of the field. I go, yeah, because you can't hit a freaking ground ball a shortstop. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I said, no, you wouldn't. And you'd be a 700 hitter because there's nobody on that side of the field. You know, so. You know, that would be probably another rule. It would be, you know, play as many guys as you want on one side of the field. I'm trying to beat the other guy. I ain't trying to please him, you know. And so now they're starting to implement rules where you can only have this many guys and they have to have their feet on the dirt and all that. Say, yeah, bullshit. I'm trying to beat the other guy. I ain't trying to please him.
Yeah. So you're okay with the shift?
Yeah. Yeah. Because guess what? That's his fault for not being able to hit the ball the other way. If you're a one-dimensional hitter, guess what? That's your fault. That means the pitcher, first off, you're, you, if you are a one-dimensional hitter, you are easy to be pitched to. All I got to do is get in one area, and I know you're going to hit the ball over here in the shift. Or in his case, you're going to swing and miss, and you'll be walking back to the dugout, acting like Eeyore, like one of these numbers. All right. And guys like myself, we moved around Tony Gwynn, guys like that. We moved around in the batter's box. So if they put the shift on us, I would hit 1,000 balls that way till everybody came back around again, you know? So it's just, you know, mastering your craft. And certain guys nowadays, you know, they're not hitters. They're swingers. All right. You know, who a guy who's a hitter, he works on stuff.
Good. So our final question, Will, it's a loaded question. Who would you like to see come on WST next to talk about their first experiences? And you have to help us get them on.
I have never met him, and I would like to hear his opinion on things. Would be Trout. You know, he had all of the accolades and all that, and he's come up here and he's done it, and he has been the man. And I'd like to hear kind of his opinion on things. You know, a lot of people right now especially are giving him a little bit of grief because, you know, he's arguably the best player in baseball, but he really hasn't won. But that doesn't have anything to do with him. It has everything to do with the people that are around him. Baseball, no matter the day we die, it's going to be pitching and defense wins baseball games. Offense, just we'll figure out a way to score a few runs. I mean, look at the San Francisco Giants right now. They're not setting the world on fire offensively, but they're in the middle of it because they got pitching right now. So there you go.
Well, we should have prefaced that. We should have prefaced that. We like retired players because they'll actually speak their mind around the game, whereas we get someone that's a current. They can't say an ill word about Manfred, any of the rules, and they're going to tell us they're sponsored by Gatorade half the time. So can we shoot
seriously,
for someone?
Really?
Yeah, crazy. I'm serious. Yeah, we had a coach. You know, we've had people on there. Like, I'm sorry, can't really say much. So
put it this way. I was really, really – I actually came on with a College Hall of Fame shirt. I was actually going to come on with a shirt that says, "Watching the San Francisco Giants makes me drink." That's what I was going to come on with. I guess I'll wear that one when I do Burns' show this week. So
there you go. Tell Burns we got Mike Trout coming on. Tell Burns.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, but you know, to go back to what Ben's talking about, you know, I'm a big, you know, history buff, and I got a chance to talk to him once, and man, I wish I could have just had a few beers with him and just sat down for hours. Would have been Ted Williams. I mean, I had a chance to meet him one time, and super gentleman, and I kind of learned his swing secondhand. And so, you know, I'd have had to pick his brain a little bit. You know, you go back in the day and, you know, a guy I had a chance to talk with a few times before he passed was Stan Musial, Superman. Gave you as much information as he could give you. And I was retired at that time. I'm trying to find out so I can tell some of the younger kids. So, you know, you start talking about those kind of guys like that. And those are the guys that passed on the game. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm just passing on the game. The only problem is I'm running into a bunch of dumbasses that don't understand.
I think you used the term babies. Didn't you at one point?
Yeah, well, I used the term, yeah, major league babies before, and they are. They're a bunch of them are babies because they got no balls whatsoever. But there's a few of them that just they don't get it. They're dumb as a rock. Thank God, they're 6'4", 6'5", in the body of Adonis because they're freaking between the brains. There ain't nothing there.
I think you just described me as well as the Dodgers. Left fielder who made that last out last night.
Hey, you know, we talked about this, you know, and you know, you bring it up, you know, if you'd have gone back a few weeks ago, you know, everybody's talking about the Padres Dodgers, you know, and then all of a sudden you look up, you know, and San Francisco's been getting good pitching, you know, and they're kind of in the mix. All right, let's take another team for example. And this is just baseball. This is just baseball. This is how it works. over the course of 162 games. Look at the Oakland A's, start off 1-6. They were actually 0-6, and they won their first game. Everybody's like, well, finally, finally. And Burns and I talked about this because he's a former A. I go, dude, I said, this is just the way the game works. I said, you never know. That first game might have just, you know, been the little pebble that they needed to get out the way so that the snowball could go down the hill and just get bigger and bigger. Now look at them. They won 13 in a row, and look where the hell they are. You know, and this is what's going to happen over the course of 162 games. Wait till you hit the second half of the year. Once you hit the second half of the year, then it's going to be like, all right, who wants this now? You know, yeah. Who wants to be playing some meaningful games in like August and September? That's right there. That's what baseball is all about.
Love it. So, Will, where are you the next few months? Are you still back in Louisiana watching baseball?
So as of right now, I'm in Louisiana. Middle of next month, middle of May, I'll be in Richmond. I'll see our AA team, work with some of those kids, guys I just saw in spring training, and see what kind of adjustments they've made from spring training into their regular season, because they'll have probably had 2 or 3 weeks under their belt. Then I'll go see Eugene, Oregon, which is, we talked about it before the show, this is our high A ball club now. And I wanted those guys to get at least a full month under their belt and really see what it's like to be a pro before I come in and you know, work with them a little bit. And then a little later in the year, probably in first part of July, maybe mid-July, I'll see San Jose, which is our low A ball team. And those guys are going to need a lot more instruction.
Well, Will, if you need to toughen them up, just tell the opposing catcher to, you know, or throw one down to first and someone will get cold clock and really clean them out, right?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Thanks for coming on, Will. We had fun. Hey, I'm sure we'll see. We'll hop on to Deuces Wild or something too along the way.
Oh, man, that'd be great. And look, you know what I mean? You know, if you guys are going to do this on Monday nights, I don't have much going on a Monday. During the day, I'm running around. At Monday night, I'm pretty cool. So you guys.
I want to report after you get to Eugene. I want to see.
You. Hey, I think right.
Everything's legal. They don't have Skyline Chili, and the women may not eat as good looking.
All right,
you can get anything else in Oregon.
So look, so here's a whole freaking boatload of notes and shit, right? All handwritten. That's from spring training. All right. So when I'm watching the game, I'm taking notes on all these kids so that when I show up, hey, look, this one's doing this one, this one's doing that, and he's not giving me a good effort or whatever. So these notes right here go into when I see Eugene. So after I see Eugene, we'll do the show. I'll be comparing notes, Jack.
Love it.
All right. That's perfect. Well, thanks again, Will.
Pleasure.
We had a blast.
Enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I hope your audience enjoyed it. This is a great platform. You guys are doing a great job with it. Eric Burns is doing a great job. And look, go on No Filter Network. Find a host that you like. Follow them. You know, Kyle and Ben are doing a great job. Eric Burns and I are on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. So fire it up. Come and visit and have fun. And hit that knock button like Kyle was talking about. Hit the knock button. Come on there. Ask your questions. Don't just stay in the chat room. Come on the broadcast, and we'll let you on.
Yeah.
Will, are you a football guy?
I am not a football guy. During football season, I hunt and fish.
Yeah. That was my last question, and we're done. I got to give my dog a walk. I think he's taking a leak in the living room or something.
Yeah, he'll pee on the rug.
Thanks, Will.
Hey, nice job on the changing of the hats too, Ben. I like it.
Yeah, my wife forced me.
Hey, Kyle, tell Randy I said hi too.
I will. Take care. Thanks, Will.
All right, guys. Thank y'all so much.
Seattle, Portland, LA, San Fran, San Diego, Scottsdale, Phoenix. This is Kay Wynn.
And Big Ben.
And we are Western Standard Time. WSD Podcast. We're everywhere online. Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcast. What do we talk about, Ben?
We got all sports, NBA, NFL, MLB. Pac-12, WCC, if it's on the West Coast, we got you covered.
You know what else we got you covered? A little lifestyle, a little fun, a little banter to lighten up your day. There are 5-minute life guides.
So whether you live in Seattle, Kansas City, Frisco, Texas, Boston, Worcester, Florida, and you love West Coast sports, make sure you follow us, download us. New episode every Friday.
And we're out.
Boom.
Boom.